Kim Reid is the chief executive at Takealot.com, the amalgamation of South Africa's two dominant online retailers, Kalahari.com and Takealot. Was Takealot an independent when it started out? I mean, you guys, did you find a box of paper clips and you thought if we sell these one at a time, we can make a profit and we can then buy the next item? How did it all start?
Well, we started off, Bruce, I was at Nicepass and I left them, decided to start something on my own. And we actually then started Takealot with Tiger Global, which was a US-based hedge fund.
Why would a US-based hedge fund give a guy who just worked at Nicepass money to start an online retail in a country that was not online retail savvy, certainly at the time?
Look, I think we were lucky. So I was certainly lucky. I had a relationship with Lee Fixell, who was the partner at Tiger Global. Told him what we were looking to do, and he was keen to back it. So it was as simple as that, really.
How much online knowledge did you have other than sending email?
Look, I worked for Nicepass for 10 years in pay TV, and I ran MWeb for a stage as well. And then I was largely involved in a mobile TV venture, and then I ran the internet assets in Africa for a stage.
That's still not convincing somebody to buy something via this thing called the internet, to then part with their credit card details, for you to get a message in a warehouse, to put that into a box, and then to ship it to somebody within a time that they would deem to be acceptable. I mean, this is a big leap of faith that you took.
Look, I think any business is difficult. If you apply your mind to it, I think you can make any business successful. I think that's it. There's nothing that complex about what we do. It's about the application and really the tenacity in applying it in the business that's important. And that's really how I see things. And I think, fortunately, I had someone who saw that in me and was prepared to back me.
And then the Kalahari.com deal, I mean, you guys were fighting tooth and nail. One of you would die eventually because the market just wasn't big enough to have you both. And Nicepass gave you a call one day and said, why don't we put these two big boys together?
Yeah, so I think there is actually opportunity for other e-commerce players in this market. I don't think there's not that opportunity. I think the market is so nascent still, you know, at 1.2% penetrated, that there's opportunity. I think what we were fortunate enough to do is we executed particularly well in the first 4 years of our business. And unfortunately, the Nicepass business wasn't executing well. And it became apparent that, you know, the best solution was really to fold them into one and effectively kill off the brand of one of them. And we fortunately kept our brand and kept our platform.
And capital, I mean, the requirement of capital, these are very expensive businesses to run. Not only, I mean, people think because you don't have a network of shops, it can't be that expensive. But you've got, what, 700,000 square feet or meters of warehouse space. I mean, this is a vast operation. You employ more than 2,000 people. It's a very substantial business.
So it's 70,000 square meters of
70,000.
Yeah. But look, it takes money to build a scalable e-commerce business. There's no doubt about it. And we've had several capital injections. So the original capital injection from Tiger was $100 million. Dollars. And Nicepass then put in, subsequent to that, when they bought in, a 960 million rand. We're pretty much fully funded to go to break even right now.
Only now?
Well, we're not break even yet, Bruce. I mean, you know,
and it's been how long?
It's 8 years now. But, you know, we've done several things. So, you know, Takealot will break even first. And then it'll come on to Superblist, and we've got Mr. D Food as well. And they're at different stages in their existence. This is not unusual, so...
This is the thing. I mean, people see online as this supposedly easier alternative to getting involved in physical retail in the real world, but that nothing is easy. I mean, no individual in their own right or right mind could sustain 8 years of losses in order to get an online business profitable.
I think the prize at the end of it is what you're aiming for. So, you know, all of these businesses, all of these, you know, new age internet businesses, it's almost a little bit arse about face in the way people invest. You know, in the past, you used to open a store, wait for it to be profitable, open the next store, open the next store. Now you kind of look at what your goal is and you say, right, you're going to need X amount to actually execute on this. If you continue to execute along the path, there'll be more funding. And, you know, you eventually get there. But I think operationally an e-commerce business is more operationally intense than a bricks and mortar store factory.
Delivery in South Africa, it's always seen as the big deal breaker for so many people in the online space. It's been an absolute nightmare to get deliveries secured, deliveries achieved. once or twice in the past. Wendy Nola was telling me about it earlier. You had a really rough Christmas a couple of years ago, and people were very grumpy with you. I mean, none of this stuff goes smoothly.
No, so delivery is tough, and we saw that, you know, a couple of years into our existence, and that's why we bought Mr. Delivery and changed that into effectively a courier company. And we do roughly, on Takealot, we do about 85% of our deliveries ourselves. Superbless, we're at about 90% of those deliveries we do ourselves, and Mr. D Food, we do 100% ourselves. So, you know, today at peak, we're doing about 1.2 million deliveries a month.
1.2 million, help me out here. How many is that a day? Because that, I think, is more impressive.
So roughly a day, I mean, at 1.2, you're probably doing around about 30,000 deliveries, you know, roughly 30 to 40,000 a day, yeah.
That's an extraordinary number of deliveries.
No, it is, and it, you know, things go wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is, and to hit someone at work or at home at a particular time, because, you know, you don't get that right all the time, it's a difficult business, but we track through to, and we try to use technology to the best of our ability to make that a lot more predictable. As such, and I think we've got a lot more money to put into that to actually make it even more predictable.
I mean, Naspers is very big, and it's buying platforms all over the place to deliver food. For example, Mr. D will then switch over from delivering boxes of shoes during the day to delivering hamburgers and pizzas at night. This is a big focus for Naspers, but the South African market, even the African market right now from an online perspective, relative to what else Naspers does in the world, is quite small.
Look, we are a rounding error in Naspers' numbers, let's face it. We don't focus on that. We focus on building a good, sustainable business, which is worthwhile for Naspers in the context of South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, we're not Flipkart in India, which they sold out of at whatever telephone numbers they sold out of. We're a South African business focused on a South African problem. You know, we'll build value out of that.
Does it make you unique in the world in the way in which you have to act and behave and serve customers in the disparate African markets?
I don't think we're unique in the world in that respect, because the challenges are pretty similar all over the place in emerging markets especially. I tell you where we are rather unique is that we don't have Amazon in the market.
Not yet.
Yeah. So
might they come? Do you lie awake at night worrying about Jeff Bezos when he's dealt with the National Enquirer coming to make your life hell?
Is it something that we want? Most definitely not. Is it something we'll handle? Yes. I mean, you know, India is in that position right now. Flipkart are fighting against Amazon. It's Walmart against Amazon in India. It's not an insurmountable challenge. And we've got some good assets in our business today that make us a defensible platform.
When you look at the future of deliveries, I mean, cities are more and more congested. We had Ryan Bacher on after Valentine's Day, and he had been hit by a quadruple whammy of terrible weather, load shedding, broken traffic lights, massive demand, and was basically came onto the road to say, terribly sorry, but it was a disaster in many respects. Lots of people got let down. How, in increasingly congested urban areas, what's the future of delivery look like?
So I think the future of delivery is a combination of delivery to the person's door and a click and collect facility as well. So, you know, giving the person the choice to be able to go pick it up from a click and collect location.
Macro has done. Macro innovated that in South Africa. I don't know how well it worked, but they put lockers up at Sasol petrol stations.
Yeah, I mean, the locker thing is difficult to make work because economically it's quite difficult to get utilization out of those lockers.
Yeah.
But actually having destinations. So, for instance, we've got 55, 56 points of presence out of our delivery network, which are branches.
So unlike Yuppie Chef, which is a far smaller player than you, they've got physical retail outlets. You have taken over that bridge in Midrand. It was the Maxi's restaurant.
Yeah.
And that is actually becoming, or has become, a drop-off point for you. It's a great billboard across the busiest highway in Africa.
Well, it's not live yet, but it'll be live in the next couple of months. And it's a click-and-collect facility. And what we're doing, remember, we've got a network of branches which do delivery. So the delivery spider out from the warehouse go to a branch, and the branch then goes to the customer.
Does that ultimately defeat the purpose of online shopping, though? If I'm going to click, choose something, and then I'm going to go and fetch it, I might as well have gone to the shop.
No, it's still the convenience of, you know, just being able to drive past a particular location at whatever time of
day. Or drive-through pickups, can you do that?
Drive-through, I think, starts getting kind of difficult to get
right. Because that would be a good point.
It would be, but, you know, does McDonald's drive-through work well? I don't know. You can ask them.
You reminded me earlier in 2012, I asked you how big you were going to be in 5 years' time, and you said that you'd be a billion-rand business, and people who'd heard the interview told you you were mad. You're now how big?
No, we're roughly at about 5.5 billion at the moment.
Okay, 5 years from now, you will be how big?
I reckon we'll be in the region of 20.
Are people going to say you're mad?
I don't know.
Have they realized that actually you're quite serious about what you say?
I think that the market is certainly big enough to get there, and we've got ourselves to blame if we don't.
Kim Reid is the chief executive of TakeALot.com.